Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, this is comedian Craig Gass. You might want to Google that. You are listening to the Shout It Out Loudcast with Todd Kearns and Brent Fitz. Boom.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Oy.
This is James Simmons.
Put that cookie down.
Kiss.
Stop pressing the button.
Star Broker Simmons.
Star? Paul Stanley. Is that what he does?
Stop shouting.
I need a
not what you would call a handsome man.
Oh, no, here come the kiss talk.
Is that a positive thing? Okay.
All right.
I'm going to grab me a nice cold mellow yellow.
Why? Why do that to the fan?
Stop it.
Why?
Because fuck them. That's what we're talking about.
617-525-0.
You do?
Hey, fuck them.
Do you like
Kiss?
Settle down.
Hello. Hey, what's up, the Kiss Army? Tom and Zeus, another episode of Shout It Out Loudcast, episode 260. Zach Throne.
Oh, yeah.
Love it. Finally, we get everybody from the Bruce Kulick Band. We save Zach for the final guest.
Yeah, I can't wait
for
you guys to hear this. Hilarious conversation.
Oh my God. We go all over the place. It's so awesome. So fun.
Yeah. And then last week we did a tour. We did the Kiss Aerosmith tour. Kiss was out there calling it the World Domination Tour. Aerosmith called it, was it Roximus Maximus?
Fucking terrible. It's almost the tour title was about as terrible as the tour itself.
What were they promoting?
Honking on Bobo?
What would you say
that? It's so stupid. So stupid. What are we doing?
Yeah, and we did a poll.
Yes. So we looked at a couple songs that were occasionally performed on the World Domination Tour, and we love to get into set list discussion. So we said, which of these songs that were occasionally part of the set list on World Domination should have been part of End of the Road? And the options were Come On and Love Me, Firehouse, King of the Nighttime World, and Hotter Than Hell. And as usual, when we do polls like this, Come On and Love Me steamrolls everybody else. 42%, King of the Nighttime World comes in at 28, Firehouse at 22, and Hotter Than Hell at 7, which is, in my opinion, the proper rankings there. We got a comment from Thane of the Woods, who just said, King! Glenn Barth, Come On is very singable for Paul. The rest of the boys would have done great on the backing vocals. Sean Metzger says, I voted Firehouse, but realistically, it should have been all of them. Yeah, that's a great point. We exhaust ourselves with setlist conversations, but yeah,
or mix them up.
Yeah, exactly.
Put some out, and then you're going to be like, you know what? I want to go to the Cincinnati show because they might play this. I'm going to go to the Houston show because they might play that.
Yep.
Instead, no, I know what they're playing.
Yep. And let's get into some comments about the episode itself. Our buddy Tony, the vacationing guitarist. What's up, fellas? Hanging out in the Viking Crowd Lounge, enjoying the view. Cheers from the middle of the ocean. And it actually looks like he's flying around in the Goodyear blimp, the way that picture was taken at that angle. But Tony's vacationing all the time. We love Tony. Chris Colby, good show. I was at the one at Fort Lauderdale when Aerosmith closed. It was great because Kiss played, sounded really good. And I was very satisfied by just that. But no, wait, I got to see Aerosmith play right after. Neither set felt watered down. Okay, that's good for you. Gerald Rosenberg, I went to the Jones Beat show. I thought Aerosmith was much better. I was still in my Tommy is fake ace mode. And I also felt Peter's playing brought them down quite a bit. Ooh. The boys from Right Between the Eyes podcast, check those guys out. Great Kiss podcast. Those guys are a lot of fun. They say, are we, as we call it, the world's slowest tempo tour? My God, babies are born faster than it took Peter to play. I love it slower. Oh, yeah. I don't remember that. A lot of people are saying that Peter was kind of like, ugh, on this tour.
Nonsense.
We'll wrap up Twitter with this one from David Zihak. I have been binging listening to all of your podcast episodes. I don't know how I just discovered you now. You guys are by far the best Kiss podcast out there. I listen and I like the other ones, but you guys are on another level. Your Ace Frehley stuff has me laughing my ass off. Woo! Yeah, David, welcome to the party, my friend. Love it. Love hearing that stuff.
Thanks, brother. Much appreciated.
Thanks, brother. Love hearing stuff from new listeners. That's awesome, David. Thank you. And that's Twitter.
Over on the Book of Face, I've got this reoccurring theme in a lot in here. You'll hear them. This one's Scott Wheeler. Went to the show in Virginia and Kiss crushes Aerosmith. Still couldn't believe Kiss played first. One thing I distinctly remember is the Kiss Army out in force with shirts and face paint, yet few in Aerosmith shirts. Looking at the crowd, you would have thought Kiss was the headline and an obscure local band was opening. And that's just the thing. I think Aerosmith was kind of like where Kiss is in a few years, not yet, whereas they're really not doing much. The albums that are coming out aren't hitting anything. And that fucking set list for theirs was horrendous.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Kiss was embracing the nostalgia aspect of their career at that time. Aerosmith was too. I mean, they still played a lot of classics, but throwing in that other shit in the middle.
Yeah. People weren't that tired yet.
Right.
Of the reunion and Kiss and makeup shit. I'm going to go see it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck? Magnum?
Yeah, we do this joke every time we say his name.
I don't care. It's funny.
One of my faves, because it was my 5-year-old niece's first show. She's been with me every tour since. Aerosmith sounded so bad, we left after 3 songs. Ooh. And I am an Aerosmith fan. But as a bonus, we got Nuge as the opener because it was the blackout reschedule at Comerica Park in Detroit.
Yeah.
Having Ted Nugent, is that a positive thing?
I don't know. Is having Saliva a positive thing? Is that who we had?
I'd rather hear one song from Saliva than anything from Ted Nugent.
No, Ted Nugent's funny. Forget about the fact that he's a lunatic, but he's good.
Yeah. Not in music.
Well, he can play the guitar. Well, you don't like Wango Tango?
I don't like anything he does. I'm fucking moron.
Yeah, well, yeah. He is a moron. I'm just saying his guitar shit is not good.
I'm a big fan of his.
You ever hear Fred Bear? Great song.
Got some meat sauce on my shirt, but that's okay. As long as it doesn't get on my posters. Anyways, Ronnie Bachowski, you know, this is going to be fucking.
Oh, God, I remember that. His comments are burned in my brain. Go ahead.
I saw this tour in Pittsburgh. Kiss sounded great that night, although the dynamic with Peter seemed like it was definitely about to run its course. I think it was running out of gas by that point, but overall, they killed. That being said, Aerosmith sucked all of my balls that night, and I usually love them. First of all, Kiss opening for anyone is like jerking off before you're about to bang someone. It doesn't make any sense. Kiss throws out a great set, then Aerosmith comes out with Honks on Bobos. Honks. For about 45 minutes before fucking off and leaving, because nobody wanted to hear that new shit record. Half the crowd left, and they were even booed through much of their Let's Blow Some Turds set. It was embarrassing. Improved Kiss can't be followed, even if you are a huge band.
He's right. I'm still stunned to this day that Paul allowed that.
But he obviously knew what he was doing, because look how bad everyone saying Aerosmith turned out. And they were probably like, fuck, this sucks.
No, I agree. I mean, you're right. Maybe Paul was being a little calculating there, being like, okay, we'll go on first. So you can end the fucking show on a dud and everybody can walk out of here disgusted.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't need to stay for this because you're fucking playing stupid shit that I don't like.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, it is kind of thing. And you know what's funny? Someone said, I forgot to mention this, but is it a coincidence that after Kiss left, the first song that they open up with is Let the Music Do the Talking?
Yeah, exactly. Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, these are the kind of jabs that were probably going on. And then Paul's like, yeah, well, the music is doing the talking halfway through the show. Everyone's leaving.
Yeah. Pulling out your harmonica. Whatever the fuck you're doing.
It's more like the crowd is doing the talking. They're leaving.
Exactly.
Ryan Michael Scott, Courtney Cronin, Dold, Vivek Ramaswamy, Nimrata, fucking Rodham Clinton.
You got to get the Ramaswamy in there.
You love that.
That fucking pinhead.
Nimrata. I watched some YouTube videos on this tour, and they sounded really good before Paul's voice went, and they were still energetic. Love the tour episode, guys. So unique. I'm curious. Hold that thought. We'll get back to that.
Yep. You know what, though? He brings up a great point that I don't think we spent enough time talking about. It was that Paul really did sound awesome on that tour. And I remember checking a couple YouTube videos like he did. And I was like, Paul sounds powerful and strong. There's really no like crackling or straining. He sounded good.
Over on Loudcasters page, the great Jason Warden. Great episode again, gents. Took me back when I saw the show. I remember it being a last-minute decision to go, and I went solo. One of the best KISS shows I've seen. This lineup was great. While I love Aerosmith, they ain't great live. A lot of crowd left after KISS. Hard act to follow. Now, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
These comments that I keep reading about people leaving or not liking Aerosmith, they're from people all over the country.
Yeah,
it's not like we're reading stuff from, you know, the New York area where people are KISS fans, not so much Aerosmith, or Boston, vice versa.
Yep.
It's all over the place. They're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Over on our Instagram page, Junior Vintage, when Aerosmith meets KISS, you produce a classic called Mongoloid Man.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Beth's Real World. Love this. Now, Beth, for all you reality TV fanatics, was one of the people on Real World Season 2.
Mm-hmm.
And she teamed up with the guy, the cowboy guy. What's his name? Is Tom? What's his name?
I don't watch reality TV. I have no fucking idea.
The guy from that show. And they have a podcast now on Pantheon Podcast where they talk about all like reality shows. So go check them out. Beth's really been nice. Is the commented on all our shit recently. So thank you, Beth. Over on our YouTube, Cornelius Young, 5858. I enjoyed the heck out of this episode. Paul still sounded great on World Domination Tour. I was watching the New York show from this tour here on YouTube. I hope they make an off the soundboard release from one of these shows. Hey, look, I'll take anything from now. I'll take Ace Frehley at Tom Shedd off the soundboard at this point.
That's coming soon.
I got a great set list on that one. I got Genghis Khan. I got a Bronx Boy. I got the 14th version of Fractured Mirror on there.
Got outtakes and alternate demos. It's going to be fantastic. I got 62 cuts of me trying to do the opening riff of Rip It Out.
I got the first unreleased take of the demo of Insufficient Data.
Wait until you guys hear the unplugged version of Constantly Cute. Bonus track off of 10,000 volts.
And if you buy the box set today, you get a small package of half-eaten cashews that I burped up the other day when I couldn't finish and I fell asleep while watching an old classic black and white TV movie.
Hey, we got to be careful about making fun of Ace. People are now accusing us of being like insecure and jealous of him. That's the newest accusation. That's the newest accusation that we've heard, is that we are insecure and jealous of him.
I don't understand people that listen to this show that make these comments. I can see from social media, but there are people that say these comments from like YouTube. So you obviously listened.
Right.
Does it sound like we're being mean or we think highly of ourselves or anything like that?
How can just I be mean when fun. I'm how can I be mean when I'm letting Ace stay in my shed? Well, I would, if I was a mean person, I wouldn't allow that. Is that mean? I'm sorry.
No. Fucking love Ace, and we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a little bit. All right, put it on your to-do list, fellas. Oh, here's another one. Great. Richard Charvel, 7162. Great episode. But from reading Peter interview, he said that he lost a lot of stock investment money after 9/11. He spoke with his accountants about the Aerosmith tour after he agreed, and that they pretty much guaranteed him he would be financially set when the tour was done. Tyler and especially Kramer hated Kiss and didn't want them on. I don't know. He fucking didn't finish.
So he's saying Steven Tyler and Kramer, they hated Kiss.
Yeah. So here's the thing.
I think that's so funny to hear that another grown man in a rock band like hates another grown man in a rock band.
And you read Joe Perry's comments, he's like, yeah, just look at them walking down. That's fucking rock. That's badass. Look at the makeup. Look at all that shit. You don't have to hear them.
Like Joe Perry's a fucking rock star. He appreciates Kiss for what they are and what they do.
Yeah, and he gets it.
Yeah.
Whereas Steven Tyler feels insecure. Like, oh, it's like those guys that's like, oh, you're taking the easy way out to be. I had to work my way to be a fucking rock star. You're taking the easy way. I'd be doing gimmicks and shit. But here's the thing. I got a couple people wrote back about something like Joey Kramer. Peter hates him in his book. Yeah. And I also read the part in his fucking website. I always check out Peter's website. He has a fucking like Q&A with some fans and stuff.
Yep.
In there.
Yep.
He fucking is like, oh, yeah, I like Joey a lot. I got on. Now, truth is somewhere probably in the middle. But if he put it in his book, I just got to look back and see, because I saw it from the Peter website. So the book probably came out after that. I'll be honest with you. Time to update your website, Peter. And if his book is newer. And so that's where I got that from. And it sounds like a lot of people corrected. And, you know, I stand corrected on that. He fucking sounds like he hates him. So it is what it is.
Yep.
Low body fat 6707.
We do not have somebody who listens to us that has low body fat.
That's not that a fellow that, podcaster.
No, that can't be right.
No. You guys are fucking killing me with the Ace in the grocery stores laughing my fucking ass off. Much better than the actual video. Can you imagine an Ace Frehley reality show? Hey, that might get him out of his tax problems. Hey, let's set up a new dating game. Me and Lara, we just go out and hang out and we have a, you know, the like Flavor of Love, Ace of Love, the Ace of Hearts show. And chicks try to pick me up.
Yeah, the pick him up when he fucking falls down.
Okay, honey. Bachelorette number two. If I have something stuck in my teeth, what most likely will it be? Grapes? Cashews? Popcorn? Or Cracker Jacks? All of the above.
Bachelorette number three, if you were shopping for cereal for me, pick one. Cookie Crisps, Honey Bunches of Oats, or Special K with cashews and frosted peanuts. Frosted peanuts? Yeah, it's a specialty I make. It's fantastic. Instead of frosted flakes, my mom used to give me frosted peanuts. I'm a big fan of Cookie Crisp. They taste terrific. Can eat them dry out of the bag.
If I'm having a couple slices of Roni, what's my go-to pick for fountain cola? And then he writes back, low body fat 6707. Holy shit. I have to comment again. I listened to the show from beginning to end, no break. The last Ace bit had me laughing so hard, I started to cough. Uh-oh. And almost puked.
Oh, no.
I love Ace, but he's a fucking wreck now. Oh, no. Evil Eyes 47. How much is Paul Stanley paying you guys? Not funny now. Time to put the brakes on ripping into Jendale. Not Jendale. Jendale King. King!
Well, you know what? It's a good... Let's answer that. Let's acknowledge how much Paul is paying us to shit on Ace every week. It's a large sum of money that we're not going to disclose.
You usually don't see comments back on comments on our YouTube stuff, but a few people went back at them.
Because he's a fucking bozo.
Someone wrote, geez, Lara, take a nap for a change. And then someone wrote, you definitely don't listen to the show. Paul gets shit all the time for his, in quotes, Renaissance man act. And you definitely have no sense of humor if you don't like the Ace Impressions or you are in the Ace cult. Go listen to the other shitty Kiss podcast.
Oh, jeez. Come on. Be nice. The same people that get upset about us making fun of Ace are the same people that have pre-ordered all 62 vinyl variant.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Colored,
we'll
get, swirled fucking, yeah, whatever.
We'll get to that.
Ugh.
All right, Tom. Over to you.
All right. Before we get into emails, I just want to read one quick comment off of Loudcasters. So we did our coming soon photo, and it's the David guy from Beverly Hills 90210, as you'll obviously hear in the interview coming up, the connection there. Oliver Villar correctly guessed Zach Throne, as well as someone else did. So I guess we underestimated people's obsession with 90210 and their knowledge of Zach Throne's connection, because that was very impressive to see that.
And there's a good part of that discussion coming up. And
oh, absolutely there is. Yeah. A couple of emails. We're only going to read a few this week. We got one from Hall of Famer, the great Jim Riley. I saw this show two nights in a row in Las Vegas. I didn't understand who was in Kiss back then, and Kiss opening was different. It was okay. On the first night, Kiss fans were flat. They opened with DRC. Paul sang with his ass to the audience.
Look at that ass-shaking move, yeah.
He said the set list was okay, probably had to stick with what Peter could play. The stage was limited. There was a runway to the center of the arena only for Aerosmith. Aerosmith was okay. I got lost with their blues stuff. Second night was better. Kiss fans were louder. Steven Tyler's daughter, Mia, married Papa Roach's drummer on stage. Oh, God, what a self-promotion. It's just a... Ugh.
That's real rock and roll there.
Yeah, that's real rock and roll. Watch your fucking kid get married in the middle of a concert. That's what people paid for. I met Paul and Gene the next day at the NHRA drag races. They had a race car and were the grand marshals. I'm sitting on rented furniture as I type. Love you, Jim. You get it, brother. Love you, buddy.
Hall of Famer, Jim Riley.
That's right. That's right. And we're going to wrap up email and feedback with something from Daniel Davis. Huge thank you. After spending the past few months catching up on every single episode of SIOL, I have to give you guys a huge thank you. First, for providing an awesome show with great subject matter, awesome guests, and unapologetic opinions, because as we all know, sometimes you just have to say, come on, Kiss, really? Second, for making us, the fans, feel really like you, the podcasters, listen to us and value our opinions and input. Third, for providing us the Loudcasters Facebook group, we can get to know other Kiss tards, ask questions, and post useless Kiss-related crap and whatnot. And finally, for making me go back and listen to albums that I gave up on. Unmasked really is better than I remember. Peter, Chris, solo, not so much. For all of this, I decided a simple thank you would not suffice. So after listening to all 259 episodes,
wow,
I've come to the conclusion that SIOL might be around a while, so I bought stock in the show and signed up for Demon Tier Patreon. Woo! I sincerely appreciate all that you, Zeus, and Chief, there's a throwback, mm-hmm, and the podcast does for all of us Kiss-tards, and keep proudly waving the flag, Daniel Davis. Daniel, unbelievable email. I love how you mention all the reasons why you're emailing us and what you're grateful for and thankful for, and of course, we'll get to it even more in a minute about Patreon, but you, my friend, Daniel Davis, thank you so much. And you are the comment of the week.
Good answer. Good answer. Like the way you think. We're going to be watching you.
Daniel is awesome. Thank you for that, Daniel. And what a segue to Patreon and our newest Patreon member, Daniel Davis.
Yep.
Who joins us as a Demon Tier member. Thank you so much for doing that, Daniel. Really appreciate it. And then if you, according to your email, get ready for even more craziness. And Pantheon is where people like Daniel can jump in, help out the show, Pick one of the tiers. There's different monetary contributions you guys can make. The Demon, Star Child, the Spaceman, and Catman. We haven't set up the Ankh Warrior tier, Tom, where you pay us and you get nothing.
Yeah, you pay us $200 and we let you join Loudcasters. That's what that is.
We can come over and punch you in the ball bag. That's the other part to it.
They were throwing things at you?
Yes, because he used to wear little tight shorts on the job. Anyway, Patreon is a huge help to us. Those that are there know the contribution and help that it provides. Shout it out Loudcast. And if you're out there and you're like, I like what you guys are doing, I want to support you guys, what can I do? What's the best way? The best way is to join Patreon. That's the big help to us. And you can find it right on our website on the landing page. You'll see a Patreon link. You click on that and you'll find the tier that fits your wants and needs and go from there. Or you can go to Patreon, the app, or patreon.com. Look up creators, Shout Out Loudcast, and you'll find us there. Again, thank you to all our Patriot supporters, including Daniel, and much kudos to you guys for helping us out along. And if you're interested, please come and join the fun.
Absolutely. Daniel, thank you so much for becoming part of the amazing Patreon family. We love you guys. We thank you every week. We wish you could thank you every day. You guys are incredible. Please check us out, patreon.com. Click on the Patreon link on our website or download the app and search for us. Thank you guys for everything that you do to keep this show alive and kicking and growing.
Yeah, and Tom, you got a little bit of a faster step in your pantalones today.
I do. And that is because I have recently started to use this little magic bottle called Magic Mind.
Magic Touch?
You could call it Magic Touch. Magic Mind.
Okay.
And their catchphrase, they like to say, is do more, stress less. It's a little shot, little glass bottle, contains a combination of over 12 ingredients. Stimulates your focus, your energy, your motivation, your creativity. I take it with my coffee in the morning and it just gives you a boost of energy, a focus. Everybody knows I talk about how I get up early and I have a long commute to and from work. This stuff is fantastic. I'm telling you, I've been taking it for a while now. It has a cumulative effect. If you start using it every day, you'll notice it even more. It's amazing. Check them out at magicmind.com. And for the month of January, you click on that link, you can get 1 month free when you subscribe, and you can use our code SIOL20. So you go to magicmind.com/JAN for January, shout it out loud, use the code SIOL20. And I'm telling you, within a few days, you guys are going to feel so different, alert, excited. You're going to have a peppy Castro where you never had one before.
Yeah, you're a little bit peppy, Tom. And hey, I've been using it. I put in my tea, so it works, guys. That's all I can say. Give it a shot. If you like it, great. And I think you'll come back and let us know.
Yeah, please. MagicMind.com. And again, use our code SIOL20. The stuff is fantastic. You can read all about it. It's got a ton of little magical ingredients here that really get you guys going. It's fantastic, and it tastes great, too. So please check them out, MagicMind.com.
Tom, what we do next is we go over to Kiss World. What's going on there?
Well, Kiss proper, not much going on, except for Gene Simmons is back on Twitter, which was kind of a surprise. He welcomed everybody back, said he had to take a break, but he's back on Twitter. Not posting too much. He did that kind of welcome tweet, and that was cool to see. Other than that, really not much going on. Again, very, very quiet, as kind of we expected. Entertaining us on a daily basis is Ace Frehley. I mean, his videos that he's posting, he's filming the video, him in that spaceman costume, he's fucking hilarious, and he's the right kind of hilarious. Like we said, this is the Ace that we love. This is lovable, fun Ace.
Yeah, so I even just shared that just now before we went on.
Yep.
And I'm like, where have you been? So I don't know if he's on the right meds, somebody talked to him. He's more cognitive. He's smiling. He's cracking jokes.
Yep.
He's more engaging. Guys, we've all been there. We've seen him on meet and greets. We've seen him in tours and concerts recently, last few years. He looks like he's fucking half dead. Can't lift his head up. Barely smiles. Barely says, hey, thanks, brother. Like, this is Ace. He's telling stories. He's laughing. He's joking. He's being silly. He's not bitching about Paul Stanley and stuff.
No.
And of course, he did the Jekyll and Hyde fucking thing, shitting on Paul as a guitarist a couple of weeks ago and singing. And then he's like, I want to wish my friend Paul Stanley a very happy birthday, buddy.
Even though you suck. But he's been great. He's been hilarious making jokes. Remember that song, Torpedo Girl? Yeah. Like, he's hilarious.
He did the, and it goes, Mad Battle Stations. And he goes, I sound like the squealing pig guy from fucking Deliverance.
And it's cool because everybody around him is kind of chuckling too. Everybody's having a good time. And that's
he's on the right meds. There's something going on there. He is so different and we fucking love it.
We love it. But I will say this. I don't like the fact, and thank God for the style of show that we run, where we don't have to have current events to keep us going, because there are no current events going right now with Kiss. Yeah. It's kind of dead. So the news is kind of quiet. There's nothing in the works with music. I know everybody keeps talking about the 50th anniversary is next month. It's nothing's going to really happen except maybe a fucking swirled vinyl or something. I don't know. I don't like the fact that we're hearing crickets from Kiss World.
Yeah, Tom, I think we're all hoping for some music or some stuff or some projects. What I have my hope on is Gene's got some sort of a tour going.
Yes.
We get to see him, or he's got a new Gene event that, saving our money right now to make sure that we can go to hit it.
Yep.
Those are our yearly Kiss fix. Like, not the old conventions or the old Kiss cruises. It's going to be a Gene event once or twice a year here, something like that.
I think you're right. I think it's going to get to the point now where we're going to start looking at like band member news and not really Kiss news, you know, which is fine because we love Gene and we know he's active. And let's hope that this tour he's doing in South America is just a precursor to something bigger and better. Let's hope. I don't know.
Oh, you know what? I don't know if we got to it last week. It came out after our episode. The whole Paul, like, wait, well, hold on a second. I think people got the wrong idea about the avatars. And we were all like, yeah, no, I don't think we got the wrong ideas. And even if we did, you rushed them out there for no apparent reason other than to piss off the people at the end of the road last show. You didn't need to do that. You should have had like a countdown to New Year's Day or something and be like, here it is, and build up some more attention for Kiss. You already had our attention at the end of the road. You didn't need to throw this in there.
There's nothing that pisses me off more, that is more condescending, patronizing, and belittling than when somebody I'm a fan of or paying for tells me that I don't understand what they're doing. No, Paul, we understand what you're doing. We don't like it. So don't try to correct me and tell me that I'm interpreting what you did wrong. We saw it. We don't like it. Are we going to give the avatars a chance? Yes. That's not the problem. The problem is the timing. And first of all, the fact that you made Fat Gene and at one of the avatars. But yeah, don't tell us that we got it wrong or whatever terminology you use. We got it right, dude. But I'm wondering, it's funny, somebody brought up a good point. I wonder if somebody got to Paul and is like, hey, there's a lot of fucking pushback out there in Kiss World. You might want to make a statement here.
Let me gaslight them by telling them, no. You're not angry about that. You just didn't understand it.
You're too stupid. Okay. You're not sophisticated. Okay. You're not a renaissance man like me. You don't get it. Yeah, exactly.
You don't listen to R&B or the Spinners like I did, or Philadelphia Soul.
Correct.
Have Beethoven. I saw a fucking article. Someone's like, did you know Paul Stanley had Beethoven music playing when he's out? Yeah, I've heard it because he tells everybody about it.
Yeah.
because he's a renaissance man.
Yeah. Oh, and also I don't make microwave chicken palm and then take pictures of it on my Twitter. Okay, good luck to you with your Olive Garden takeout.
Did he pull out some of that frozen basil that he had in his freezer?
Him and his fucking Stouffer's French bread pizza.
Dude, you bite into that, you will burn your fucking tongue.
You'll burn the roof of your mouth and lose two or three teeth.
And you're like, this is the most delicious thing. You have no taste left in your mouth. By the time you get to the second piece, you're like, this is the worst pizza I've ever eaten. I can't.
No, it's like eating a fucking shoe with sauce and cheese on it.
It's like eating at KFC. Ever hear Felger talk about that? That he says that Mike Felger's a fucking sports guy here. And he said he would go to KFC once a year, but he couldn't take it home because he didn't want to like fucking insult his house. So he would eat it in the parking lot. And he said it was the first couple of bites were so delicious. By the time he was done in the car, it's like he hated his life, all his decisions. He never felt so rotten in his life.
That's how it feels to eat fast food and Chinese food. It's amazing at the beginning.
Oh my God.
And then at the end, you're like, I need to go to counseling.
And I need to go to the bathroom.
Oh, God.
Anyway, all right, Tom, let's take a little break. But before we do, I gotta stay away from that Mugu Gai pan. Ooh, if I eat that, I'm gonna need a pan underneath my pants to hold me in. Oh shit.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment of Protein Plus meal plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/Pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Speaking of Mugu Gai Pan, I went to this Chinese restaurant back in the 80s. It was called Genghis Khan. Where do you think I got the idea? That's it, baby. I used to hang out with Tom and Zeus, and we would get Chinese food at Stonehill College at that great place. Walk in, wall, what you order.
That was really the name of the place.
I thought they were saying it incorrectly, but I was the one who was wrong.
Well, isn't that special?
All right, Tom. We're back with another interview. This time, we got the great Zach Throne from the Corey Taylor Band, from also Bruce Kulick's Band, Gene's Band, Ace's Band. He's played with everybody, and he got David Silver hooked on meth.
Guy, this conversation with Zach was so fucking awesome. I said to Zeus, we were about 45 minutes in. I looked at the time. I was like, I can't believe we've been talking to him for 45 minutes. It feels like we've been talking to him for 5 minutes. It was so organic talking about music. We veer off and talk about The Godfather. Then we get into his acting. He's talking to his girlfriend in the background and showing pictures. It was just fucking fantastic. We could have kept going and going. Zach is the man.
Can't wait for you guys to hear it. So let's get to it. Here you go.
All right. This week, we are thrilled to finally get him on the show. You know him from the Corey Taylor Band, but we are going to talk to him about his time with Ace Frehley, Bruce Kulick, We saw him on the Kiss Cruise. We saw him at Creatures Fest. That's right. The great Zach Throne is here on Shout It Out Loudcast. Welcome to the show, Zach.
Hello, Tom and Zeus.
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
What's up, dudes?
All right. We are super excited. Now, we ran into you a few times at, you know, those Creatures Fest. We saw you on the cruise. We've seen you perform live. And before we get started, I want to just put this out there because I've said this on our show many times. After the Kiss Cruises, we've talked about it. We talked about it in Creatures, the Creatures Fest one as well. You and Todd, you're not copying Paul and Gene.
Yeah.
But there's something about you guys that is so authentic. It's like they come through you guys.
And you so channel you them. All you that channel shit, them.
Yeah. Yeah. Great word, channel.
And
when, thank you.
When people talk about, oh, Kiss 2.0, before the stupid Avatar shit they're going to do, and they were like, oh, there's going to be a Kiss 2.0. It was literally, it made sense. And you're not doing everything Gene does, but man, that energy, awesome. That's the fucking demon. When we saw you on the Kiss Cruise and Tom heard you and you did fucking Thou Shall Not, I think he had a fucking heart attack.
One of my all time favorite Kiss songs. I looked at Zeus. I'm like, I can't believe this is being played right now.
Perfect. And it just, you don't have to mimic it, but you bring that out of them and it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
That's fucking, thank you, man. It's a huge, huge compliment. Yes. I appreciate that.
Yes. That's awesome.
Thanks, man. Glad I moved you, Tom.
You did. First of all, no one's ever going to play that song ever. And it's one of my favorite songs. It's one of my favorite Gene songs. I think it's super underrated. And when we saw you guys play, I mean, that's one of the reasons why everybody loves the Bruce Kulick Band to begin with, is you guys are digging deep. And that's what we love. And our experiences on the Kiss Cruise and Creatures Fest and everything, you kind of wish, we talk about this all the time, you kind of wish that, like, the band, like, Paul and Gene saw what you guys give to the Kiss fans, you know, about the thrill of seeing those songs, hearing those songs that you're never going to play. And like Zeus said, you guys are really, really channeling it. I mean, your ability to take what Gene does on stage when you're doing Thou Shalt Not or Unholy or whatever, just fucking fantastic, dude.
Well, thank you, man. It's a huge compliment.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yes.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
We got lucky because we went on the original Kiss Cruise and then they added the other one. So we got you because you missed one, right?
Yeah, I did. I did miss one.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you flew in and caught up with something right?
I did. I had to miss the 2-week one because it was one. And then they added another one later that was going to be like the prequel.
Yep.
You know, and I said, I'm on tour with Corey. We're overseas. I can't. And they said, well, can't you just come in for just those 3 days? And I said, I'm not in America. We're in Europe. I can't. Yeah. And so we got someone else to sub for me who did a great job. And then I could do the original one, which was the following week. And so I missed it.
Yeah. Well, we got to see it and it's fantastic. I don't know you guys have done between you, Todd, Brent and Bruce, but that band really makes Kiss fans like lose their mind. If they could have channeled it and figured out a way for you guys, especially in New York, that's all anybody wished for. It's like, oh, have they been up? But people, I think, were scared that you were going to blow them off the stage. So they don't want you guys embarrassing them because of the job you're doing and the songs you're playing. And I get it, pretty cool and stuff, but that we all wanted it as fans and amongst, you know, listen from our Loudcaster group and all the Kiss fans talking. They love what you guys do, your song selection, your performances, and the fact that you just look like you're having fun up there.
Yeah.
Well, how could you not have fun playing those songs?
Exactly.
I mean, it's the most fun you could ever have in a band because you're playing Kiss songs on a Kiss cruise with Kiss fans.
That's right.
It's win, win, win.
Yeah, it doesn't get better than that.
Now, was Kiss always your band coming up?
Definitely. When I was probably 8, you know, right around that time, 76, I was 9. And some kid brought in Destroyer at my school and put it on. And of course, the whole impact you get seeing the record cover. Mm-hmm. First off, you look at the cover and you're like, what the hell is this?
Mm-hmm.
So then there's that. And then I opened it up and I saw the logo and it was in like orange and red and it had the lyrics to Detroit Rock City. I'm like, oh, okay, this sounds. And then he put on Detroit Rock City and it was the heaviest. I mean, I'm 9. I didn't hear a lot of it. But at 9, that was the heaviest thing I ever heard. And then a friend of mine had Alive, and that was it.
Oh, there you go.
I put on Deuce, and I looked at the cover, and it was so loud, and it was so raunchy, and it was just, you know, they looked amazing, and I believed everything that was in Alive, like the four letters.
Oh, God.
I believed it. I was nine. I said, okay, the gravity is not, Ace isn't used to the gravity. He's from Gen Del. And Gene is part demon. Makes sense. Yep, my dear victims and hello earthlings. And I totally bought that Peter was like a half cat, half man person. You know,
yeah.
I got completely sucked into it. And then of course there's so much stuff to collect. So I just started collecting the toys and the radio. I joined the Kiss Army. Yeah, that was the Kiss and Aerosmith were my two, like, those are my bands when I was young. That was what got me into, like, you know, real rock.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite member?
Originally, I wanted to be a drummer. That was what I started as. I wanted it, you know, because I saw the funny thing is I liked to sing, but there weren't that many singing drummers. There was like Mickey Dolenz, Phil Collins, Don Henley, and they certainly weren't visible. Like the Monkees was on every Sunday, so I saw Mickey singing and playing. I go, that looks fun, you know?
Yeah.
And I got a drum set. I saved up and I bought a drum set and I started imitating Peter Criss. And I just sang all the Peter songs and tried to figure out how to play and do that. So Peter was my guy originally.
That's awesome.
And I dressed up for him at Halloween when I was little. And
same here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had that mask that ripped.
I remember the mask,
the plastic mask with a rubber band on the back of your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like cracked right around here. And it
was painful. But yeah. I was the Peter Criss. Tom was a Gene guy.
Yep.
And it stayed that way all the way through. Now you mentioned a couple albums, but did you have a favorite album growing up, or
Kiss
favorite album now? Yeah,
my favorite album.
Would you say it was Destroyer? I mean, our first impression is our favorite, you know?
That's the thing. Destroyer was my gateway into the world. So, I mean, I hold that as, I'm really like attached to that record. And to be honest, that's the one record, from the 70s that people who are my age, for some bizarre reason, were totally into rock music but didn't get into Kiss. Mm-hmm. That's the one record I can play them. They go, this is good.
Yeah,
because the songs are untouchable. The production's amazing. The playing is on another level because Ezrin really pushed them on that record.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, totally. That's the one you could play for Kiss fans that go, Kiss sucks. And you go, well, listen to this. And then they go, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That trifecta, too, from Detroit Rock City, King of the Nighttime World, to God of Thunder. I can't think of anything for me, except maybe I'll find a Zeppelin album, three songs in a row like that.
And not only trifecta songs, but from Destroyer to Rock and Roll Over to Love.
Same thing. Yeah.
That's prime. I mean, that I'd hold up against any three records in anybody else's catalog.
Yeah. But you're right. You're right that about Destroyer. You're right about Destroyer. That always seems to be the album that people who kind of blow off Kiss will be like, well, shit, that's actually a really good album.
Exactly. Yeah, there's some great. I mean, there's a lot of punk bands I know and stuff that they weren't. Kiss wasn't on the radar at the time, but now that nobody cares about, you know, what group you're in or what,
they
go, someone played Destroyer at some punk rock party and some great songs on that record. And I'm like, I told you, you know?
Exactly. Now, do you have a favorite Kiss song?
Oh, man.
And you can say today or, you know, when I was growing up, I love this, or right now, because we know where we are. You have a favorite Kiss song right now, and tomorrow it might be something different.
I had so many favorite Kiss songs. Boy, I don't have one favorite Kiss song, but I will tell you this. The first time I heard Got to Choose, the live version.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because I had a live before I had any of the studio records.
Yeah.
I think Got to Choose is probably my favorite Kiss song.
Really?
If I have to pick one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Paul
There's something
loves
about that tune.
Song.
Who does?
Paul loves that song.
Loves that song.
Stanley?
Paul Stanley.
Yeah.
It's funny because we recorded it for a B-side with CMFT, with the Corey band. We had to do a bunch of B-sides for our record. And we just got together some ideas, and Corey went, let's do Got to Choose. And, of course, all of us were Kiss fans. We're like, fuck yeah. And we did it completely live. And I kicked into my pedal, and we did the solo live. And it was just – we did it, I think, in one take. And
I didn't know if it was, like, you know, one of yours or was it his, because I know he's a big Kiss fan. So
it was – Yeah, it was so we were just looking at each other, smiling because we're basically jamming a Kiss song. And then Jay Russ, our producer, went, all right, we got it. No overdubs. Yeah. Like, that was it. I just went, man. And we sent it to Paul. And Paul was real. I was told he was really impressed with it and with Corey's vocal. He said, Corey sounds just like me in 74. And wow. Yeah, that's probably my favorite. I'd say that's my favorite one. Something about that tune. But there's so many, you know.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course.
So many.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, before, you know, you got to kind of play around with Bruce and stuff, did you go to Kiss concerts and did you go to a lot of them?
I went to – the first time I saw Kiss was 1979.
Ooh, Dynasty Tour.
Dynasty Tour, Nassau Coliseum in New York.
Yep.
Judas Priest opened.
Wow.
And it was the Hellbent for Leather tour for them. I was 12, I guess. So I didn't know Judas Priest at the time. My dad got me, it was my birthday or something. And my dad got me floor seats. So we were like 12. Oh,
wow. Nice.
How cool is your dad?
Yeah. Right.
Oh. He's like, he knew like what was going to like really, you know, who's your favorite parent now? And I was like, you are.
Yeah, right.
Damn.
Yeah. So he totally knew how to win me over. And we were on the floor and I had waited to go see Kiss for God, probably 4 or 5 years at that point, dreaming of it. So now here I am in Nassau Coliseum and then you smell arena weed and there's this fucking, there's like this rumble. Yeah. And then Priest came out and we're just unbelievably heavy and overwhelming. Like, yeah. Guy was just so blown. He came out on the Harley, I think, on the first song.
Nice.
And KK's hair was like down to here. And yeah, they just were, for the time, it was like seeing Metallica or something. It was just so much heavier than I was used to. And they were great. I was like, okay, mental note, going to go get an album from those guys. And then Kiss came out and just annihilated.
Mm. Wow.
That was my first Kiss concert. And then after that, I saw them sometime in the early 80s. I don't remember where or when. And then I saw them later when Anthrax toured with them. Mm-hmm. They've been like probably, I think, Hot in the Shade. I'm not quite sure. But they played, I was living in LA at the time, and they played at the Forum.
Was that Asylum?
That was the Asylum tour.
No, it was Asylum. It was Asylum.
Yeah, because we talked to Charlie about that.
That was great.
We had Charlie on the show, and we started talking about like Asylum era Kiss songs. And he's like, I don't know that. And we're like, you toured with him on that tour. He's like, I don't know that song.
It was with Jericho. We were doing the Kiss draft.
Yeah.
And Chris hit some sort of like song from Asylum. Charlie's like, I don't know
what you're talking about.
You're like, what the fuck? You were on that tour. It's like, I don't know. That came out after like Dynasty. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know, I hung in there a little longer than Charlie did. But I admit that I checked out back in on Creatures of the Night.
I think everybody did.
You know, but between like Dynasty and actually between Unmasked and Creatures, that's only 2 years.
I
didn't have anything against the Elder. One of my closest friends, and we were like little Kiss nerds in fifth grade, he got the Elder and he goes, come over to my house and listen to it. I was like, is it any good? He goes, I don't know yet. But his dad was an opera fanatic, and his dad hated when we were little kids listening to Kiss. His dad walked in listening to Elder, goes, that sounds pretty good.
Oh, no.
Like, you like it.
Yeah, that's not an endorsement. Yeah, right.
So I was like, well, if your dad likes this record, I don't know if I want to hear it.
Right.
But I didn't really listen to the Elder in its time. But then I saw I Love It Loud on MTV, and I was like, whoa, Kiss is back.
I saw that. We didn't see it until Kiss Exposed
video.
VHS.
Oh, really?
So I didn't know they had videos with makeup. Like, whoa, holy shit.
It aired on MTV like a mistake. Like someone just put it on, and it was not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And it just came on and I went, what the? And I went, okay, I'll go down to, the record store in the Village. I was living in Manhattan and I went down to the record store in the Village and they had it and I bought it and it was fucking heavy. And I was like, okay. This is great. It's nice.
Kiss is back.
It's fun to be excited about a Kiss album again,
Totally. Oh, yeah.
I missed them.
Yeah, great point.
It's funny you say that because like we're a couple years younger. So we just turned 50, both of us. So I had that fallout. Oh, yeah. Thank you. We had that
fallout.
Welcome
to the club, fellas. Yeah.
I know.
Right.
I know. So we had that. And then I fell out right after Dynasty. I remember hearing something about Peter leaving. And then when I got back into middle school and all of a sudden, you know, the hair metal, like as they described, and that started coming in, I started getting into Bon Jovi, 84. And then I went back to Kiss. I visited my cousin in Michigan and he had Animalize live uncensored watching him. And that's the one that got me into Kiss. And he's Oh. I'm like, what the fuck is this? He's like, remember Kiss? He's like, this is them. And I'm like, holy shit. Went right back into it. And the first thing I remembered was like Christine 16. Like, I remember as a kid liking that. Like, my, it's like 4 years I was out.
Yeah,
but it was like 4 years I missed, but I was out. Yeah. Like, a lot of people checked out. And then when I got back into them, I've never left. I mean, it's a commitment to everyone.
You know, I was between like 80 and 82. Well, actually, between 80 and 87, I mostly listened to metal. I was like, I got into metal and all the current metal that was out. I remember when Kill 'Em All came out, me and all my friends. I was in a band up in the Bronx called Smokescreen, and we were like kind of like a thrash metal. Before there was really defined thrash metal and speed metal, we were like a modern metal band, you know. We did the classic metal guys, and then we did like Metal Church and this new band called Metallica. And we used to play in Yonkers in the Bronx, and so we were all hyped up on finding the new metal acts. So they would come out this cassette, and I just listened to Kill 'Em All, and I was like, okay, this is the next big band. This band's going to be enormous. So I was into like those kind of things, and I was also into a lot of punk rock and a lot of alternative, what back then was post-punk rock.
But not the LA scene, it doesn't sound like. You weren't into the LA scene, the Rats, the Poison. Like
Motley Crue.
I did, but I had to hide it. I mean, I'm from like the school of if a good song's a good song, I don't care who wrote it or who sings it. I'll listen to, you know, Amy Grant comes on or something. I go, that's a good song. Sorry.
Yeah.
George Michael. I mean, I'm of the school where if you, it's a good, any good song's a good song.
Yeah.
So Rat wrote great songs. And Rat was they were great players. They were great singers. The songs were smart and really well arranged.
Love them.
And they're awesome. I mean, you can't fault those guys musically at all. And even Charlie will tell you too. Charlie's like, look, dude, I know I wasn't supposed to like Rat, but they were a fucking good band. You know, they had great songs. And he's a song guy too, like me. So I dug him, but I couldn't walk around with a Rat t-shirt. You know, my friend.
We lost that because we're buddies from college. So when we got to college in 91, it was that major shift. So Use Your Illusion was out, Black Album, things like that. It went away from the glam kind of look to strip down. Even Kiss was
revenge
shade, kind of like stuff down. So everybody was doing it. And then by time, like Pearl Jam, by that summer of 91, Nirvana, Pearl Jam, everything took over. I took my like Rats, Dawkins, Poisons, hit those CDs in the corner and I wasn't cool to have them at the party showing those.
Well, because at that time, pulling out a Rat CD was kind of like a goof. You're like, oh, remember these guys? Let's listen to Soundgarden now.
But you know, something, like there was a new, fresh sound. And, you know, Metallica was opening up thrash to people, and that was what was cool. And so, but the only thing is we met each other and we had that Kiss bond.
You know, it's funny. I find that a lot of people who are into, I mean, whatever, Smashing Pumpkins or The Replacements or something like that. When you back then, you weren't allowed to admit your influences if it was something like Kiss.
It's true.
Especially in the early 80s. I remember I used to shop at the store in the Village called St. Mark Sounds, and this guy, a little Kiss trivia, Binky Phillips worked behind the counter. He was in a band called The Planets that used, because he played in The Planets with Kiss.
And they opened up for Kiss.
They used to open for Kiss.
He was with Jean, wasn't he? I thought it was Jean Beauvoir or something.
Yes. He's like you'll see Binky's name a lot because he was there. He was there when Kiss he was there when they were Wicked Lester. He was there when they put on the makeup for the first time. The Planets and Kiss played a lot together in the same thing. I didn't know.
Yeah, I remember I remember seeing those famous posters of Kiss and the Planets as the opening act.
The Planets.
Yeah.
At the time, I just knew him as Binky, the guy behind the counter. So he used to just give me advice on all these records to get. And anything he said, he goes, Zach, you'd like this. I was a kid. I was like 16. And he goes, I know your taste. You'd like this. And there was this band, The Replacements, that just came out with this album called Let It Be. And I was listening to it. I was like, these are good songs. They're a little sloppy, whatever. But they're heartfelt. The last tune on the first song was a terrible, like, afterthought rendition of Black Diamond. Now, this was in 84.
I remember that.
Nobody paid homage to Kiss.
Yep.
They were a joke.
Yep.
And I could tell, even though they didn't really know how to play the song that well, that they really loved this band.
Yep.
And I actually was in the shop, and when I heard Paul Westbrook go, out on the street, I went, no fucking, I said this out loud, no fucking way. Because back then, no one covered Kiss. It was yep. like, you know, an Infomnia. So I bought the record, and I just realized that, you know what, you don't have to be embarrassed by what you grew up listening to. That's what got you. And Kiss is, Kiss is going to come around. Everyone's going to be proud of growing up listening to Kiss. And
yeah.
sure enough, here we are, you know, so
it's true. It's true.
You came out of the closet and you didn't have to be ashamed to say you were a Kiss fan, you know?
Yep. It's true. But
did I just hear you drop a Godfather word there? Did I just
Infomnia?
Hear?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm like,
I thought I heard that too.
Infomnia.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're big Godfather. We dropped
the word. I am too. It's in my vernacular. I'll say it again.
Yes. So can I ask you there real quickly off topic, Godfather or Goodfellas?
That's like choosing between pie and cake.
Okay, so we'll make it even harder.
Here's your cake.
Godfather one or two.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Personally, Godfather one, just because of the emotional content, that it's more about family.
Yes.
Godfather two, Godfather two is just as good, if not better. Over the years, because I've watched one so many times, I could pretty much stand in a room and recite it while someone's listening, watching it in the next room.
Exactly.
Godfather 2 has nuances that every time I watch it, I get new shit out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
So in terms of a better film, I don't know if it's one's better, but I think Godfather 2 is one of the greatest films ever made.
Yeah.
Certainly the best sequel ever made.
Yeah.
But Godfather 1's got this, first of all, Marlon Brando bringing Marlon Brando into any movie is going to give it so much heart and so much sincerity. And because you have that, there's some kind of subconscious love in that film. Whereas in Godfather 2, it's about the descent of Michael just losing his soul.
But that part two ending, which harkens back to part one, with that dinner table and they're waiting and he's off camera. You don't see Marlon.
It's off camera.
Oh my God, that fucking scene.
It's amazing.
Always
it's amazing.
Every scene in Godfather. Every scene in Godfather 2 is flawless. Every fucking scene.
I agree.
The pacing on it's flawless. Godfather 1, just the first time you meet these people. So you feel like you're just joining their family.
Yeah.
And you don't have that experience in the second one. But the second one, every scene, every performance, every angle, everything.
Perfect.
Flawless. I mean, flawless.
Yep.
You know, and it's actually more heartbreaking.
Oh, yeah.
The first one's just, I'm now in this family and this is happening to me. The second one is, it's just heartbreaking to see one of your favorite, you know, cousin Michael or brother Michael, however you identified with them, losing his soul and all alone. That's the other thing I never really got in the film until recently. He's all
alone.
He has nobody left.
Yeah.
He lost his wife. He lost his kids. He lost his brothers. You know, he's all alone. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
we need you when we do the commentary, live commentary. You and Jerry, you know, we'll have you in. We'll do the live commentary.
You should get Frankie Bello. There's one time. Have you guys talked to Frankie?
We haven't had Frankie on.
I've just through Instagram here and there. We love him. He's got some great Kiss stories too.
Oh yeah.
Oh dude, me and Frankie one time, because I used to sleep at his house when I lived in LA, and he was up in Yonkers, and when I come to visit New York to see my family. He goes, come up and stay. I stayed in his house one night, and Godfather 1 started at midnight. And we're like, oh, we'll stay up till 3 and watch this. And his wife went to sleep because she had to get up early in the morning. Godfather 2 came on at 3.
There you go.
And we looked at each other. We're like, you want to do it? I was like, fuck, yeah, let's do it. And we made coffee, and we watched Godfather 2 at 6 a.m.
6 a.m.
He goes, you guys are still up watching fucking Godfather? So I was like, yeah.
You got to see this next scene, and that's what happens.
You can't turn it off.
You go, wait, we're going to see this scene. And you're like.
We were literally falling asleep, and we couldn't stay up. And it was like 5:30, and still had another half hour left, you know, but we did it.
It's the Godfather. What can you say?
Yeah.
Last thing I want to go back. We have these questions we always ask our special guests. We always want, we keep track of them, who has a favorite member, who has a favorite song. What about a favorite Kiss memory? Now, is it the first concert that you went to, the Dynasty one that your dad got you, or maybe meeting them, or a funny story with them, or something?
Well, I have so many now.
that's a good problem to have, my friend.
I guess so. Yeah, I never thought I would. I was when they broke up. I everyone put up a post saying goodbye, guys. Thank you for everything. And
yeah,
I just was like kind of getting all my memories together of Kiss, and I thought to myself, I was a kid, like we all were. We were little. We discovered Kiss, and then like I somehow grew up and wound up playing with all four original members.
That's insane. Incredible.
I still don't know how it happened. That's one kind of like moment I could, you know, that I, mm-hmm. I, you know, I mean, you have a favorite band, then you grow up and you don't just jam with one, you jam with all four. That's kind of,
that's a memory.
That is a memory. I got a lot. This like when I joined Ace's band and started touring with Ace, I didn't meet him yet. I just got the gig.
Nice to meet your brother.
Dude, it was 10 minutes before show.
Who's this guy?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Basically,
what's he doing here?
Yeah, who's this guy? So I'm standing there with my bass, and we're on stage, right, me and Ryan, and Ace comes up with his guitar, and John introduces me to him, and he goes, real loud, he goes, Ace, this is your new bass player.
I'm deaf in one ear, if you don't know that. I can't hear a thing you're saying.
And he just stuck his fist at the fist bump, and he goes, rock and roll. That was it. I'm in the band now.
Oh man, that is so beautiful.
So we're
like an ace.
When we had that fun event, that Creatures Fest stuff, so there was like you can do meet and greets with Peter, Ace, Bruce, you guys,
Vinny. That was great.
Yeah. So we couldn't stop laughing. When you would meet Ace, he'd be like hunched over, have these dark sunglasses, and be like, hey, God bless your brother. Hey, Hawaii. He's fist bumping. At one point, he goes, he goes, hey, where'd the cameraman go?
The photographer took off. So
we're
it's like
a lunch or something.
We're in line to get the picture taken. He's sitting in like a director's chair, and the photographer took off.
He's like hunched like this.
So, hey, what happened to the photographer? Like, just be fucking, he's so out of it. It's freaking classic.
And the shit that he's doing now, he's doing all these videos of him shopping with his girlfriend.
Oh, they're great.
Oh, my God.
They're so funny. Oh, my God.
That needs to be a reality show. That needs to be.
That's what I said to my girlfriend. I was like, him and Laura got to do a reality show. I mean,
The Uncle Ace show. The girls from Plush, one of them, grew up with him and said, I used to call him Uncle Ace. And Tom and I were like, that's it.
We just ran with it.
The gimmick. Uncle Ace show. Hey, kids, come on in. Uncle Ace is.
You got to pitch that to like the Learning Channel or some shit, you know? Like, just, like make that hat or whatever, you know? Like,
God, how great TBS. Would that be? And it's just, he's such a character and he's lovable and stuff. I hate the drama shit that's going on between all these members. And it's sad because I can only imagine, because I think a bunch of you guys play with everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, God bless him. We're not going to put words in your mouth, but Mr. Paul Stanley is a sensitive motherfucker. And
he's the only guy I don't really know. I mean, I don't really know Gene. I played with him a few times, but Gene and I had a nice rapport. Mm-hmm. Eric is a friend of mine, and Tommy's very cordial whenever I see him. Ace is my uncle. Like, he's Uncle Ace.
Yeah. Uncle Ace. Yeah.
He really is. I love the guy. We just play with him. A little while ago at Eddie Trunk's thing. Yeah, he was just, he welcomed me. Zach, how you doing? You know, just like the whole.
Yeah.
And then Peter, I met at Creatures Fest and he was super sweet. But I don't know Paul. I met Paul a couple times on the boat and he was always sweet to me. So, I mean, who the hell knows?
Yeah. And it's tough because all you guys play with each other and then they shooting words across each other in social media and stuff. It sucks. It's stupid because now you get people that, you know, start having sides and you don't want to get that.
Exactly. And, you know, I think musically, Paul is extremely underrated as a songwriter, as a musician, as a vocalist, and just as a musical presence, you know, like I said, I don't know him, but, I always thought, cause I've jammed with him a couple of times Mm-hmm. And he just has this feel. All the guys do, but he, no one talks about his feel for music. He has a feel for rock and roll particularly, but he also like appreciates a lot of R&B and
yeah.
he gets music and, mm-hmm. And what music's supposed to do, you know, and how it brings us all together and stuff like that. He understands it on an organic, intrinsic level where, and I don't think people look at him as a musical entity, which is strange because.
Yeah, I think it's a great point because I think, you know, for all the teasing that everybody does about, you know, whatever, I think real Kiss fans, you know, like us, people that have followed the band forever and listen to the songs, you know, sometimes we have fun with some of the lyrical choices that Paul makes, but the way he constructs a song, the way he constructs a hook and a chorus, I mean, it's undeniable. It's like you say, even people who aren't Kiss fans know certain songs. They know the hook, they know the chorus. And I think that's a testament to him. And you're right, he is tremendously underrated as a rhythm guitar player, no doubt.
Definitely. And as a singer and particularly as a songwriter, I think out of all the guys in the band, I think he could have had a really, if he never became a rock star, I think he could have had a great career as kind of one of those guys that write songs, hit songs for other people, mm-hmm. like Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this cat, Max Martin, who I idolized because the guy wrote Hit Me Baby One More Time. All the hit songs. Tell Me Why. He wrote that one. I mean, you go down the list of all the Max, and he's a metalhead. He was this metalhead guy in the 80s. He was in a metal band in Sweden, still got his hair. And one day he just went, I don't want to tour anymore. I don't want to make records anymore. I can still come up with hooks. And he started writing these songs and he let other people run with them. Yep. And he's sitting at home in Sweden making billions of dollars.
I'm sure.
He's my hero. You know, if you just look up Mac, go on Wikipedia.
No,
Max
I know.
Martin
I know who he is. Yeah. He's fantastic.
I think Paul Stanley, you know, if he never joined Kiss, could easily have been the Max Martin of the 70s and 80s and had hits with Earth, Wind and Fire and whoever. Yeah. He just understands, like you said, a hook and a song and mm-hmm. what makes the song hooky and stuff like that. And he's always, he's never failed in that department. Yeah. There's not really too many. I don't think there's really a lot of songs with Paul that you can go, oh, that's kind of not hooky. That's unmemorable. You may not like it, but they're all well written.
Yeah.
And they're all hooky. They're all memorable. Mm-hmm. So I think he's extremely underrated as a songwriter. And I really think he's extremely underrated as a front man in the annals of rock and roll.
Yeah.
You know, like he should be put up there with Plant.
Great. The all time.
Roth and anybody, you know, I mean, and Freddie Mercury, there's very few people that actually could command 60,000 people in their hand. And that's not a lot of people can do that. He did that for 50 years.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing.
So, you know, say what you want about him, but the guy's untouchable.
No. We had his right.
Leave Paul alone, you guys.
You know, we love Paul, but we cheese him. It's okay.
I'm kidding.
We had his writing partner, Desmond Child, on about a month ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we went through all that stuff. And people are probably sick of me saying this, but I've said this all the time. If I had to choose, my life depended on it, one artist to write a song that I know I will like, I will choose Paul mm-hmm. Stanley over everybody. Mm-hmm. The guy mm-hmm. knows a chorus and a hook better than anybody I've ever listened to. The amount of great choruses, which, you know, people are like, oh, that's just silly. It's not. It might be simple like you think it is. But get something that sticks in your head that you like and you want to keep repeating.
Definitely.
Something from even down to Turn on the Night to Black Diamond to Lick It Up. All those choruses and all those things are just off the charts. And Desmond Child, who's like that Max guy,
off the charts.
And he'll praise Paul to the roof. Like, he taught me how to do this. He knows how to get a chorus. He knows how to do this. And he was just nonstop heaping this praise upon Paul as a songwriter. And I agree with you that if he wanted to, he could be writing hits for Cher, other pop guys, like with Ricky Martin, like Desmond Child did, he could be doing that stuff. And it's a shame because, you know, unfortunately now, as everyone gives him crap about his voice and stuff, the guy obviously had some surgical issues in his voice, but regardless, you can't take away his impact, his influence, mm-hmm. and his talent. Amazing.
That's definitely talent. You can't. That's him. You know, you can never take away any of his natural gifts. So,
Zach, let me ask you this. I want to kind of back up a little bit because I'm sure once our listeners and find out that we have you on, they're going to want to know one of the big things that everybody wants to know. In the last week or so, The big giant breaking news was that the Gene Simmons band was going to get together and they were going to tour this festival in Brazil. And you're starting to laugh because you know where I'm going, obviously. And the big excitement in that announcement was that the band was going to consist of Zac Throne. And everyone was like, fuck yes. Until we saw your Facebook post.
Yeah.
What happened? What happened? Can you share as much as you can share, if possible, what happened?
My girlfriend's watching me right now, so they're asking about Gene's band. No, she's cool. She's like, do whatever you do. My girlfriend's a photographer, so she's documenting this event right now.
Well, it's an important event. You're on our show.
Never mind. For Tom and Zeus. I've been fucking. I've been trying for years to get on this
playing
show.
Playing on Paul. That's nothing. Two Kiss fucking idiots from Boston. That's bad.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the third Kiss idiot.
That's right.
Let's see. So, okay. Well, I'm not in the band. I'm not by my particular choice. Gene's a great guy. I played with him before. We're symbiotic. We like all the same music. And Gene's kind of, and I think he'll admit this immediately, that he's motivated by marketing. I don't think that's too, liberal to say that.
That's not breaking news, but yeah.
I was going to say,
I like money.
Yeah, I got the scoop for you. He's motivated by marketing. Yes. But in all sides of marketing, he wants to not just have quality, but he needs to look a certain way, to smell a certain way, and to travel whatever it is. So he comes from that place. And there's normally when you come play with a band, you play and everything's cool. And as long as you're not an asshole and you musically connect, then that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Gene, he wants all those things, but he also needs, your eyes have to be a certain color and your hair has to be a certain way and stuff like that. So we get along great musically. We exchanged a lot of ideas. He loved all the ideas I had pitched to him in the past. And he's like, that's good. Let's run with that. That'll be great.
Dude, that is fucking amazing.
That might be the best Gene we've ever heard on this show.
I'm telling you, that's better than Craig. It's just amazing. Yeah. Go on.
I smoke Craig Gass in my Gene Simmons.
Yeah, you do.
I'm thinking already. You won't. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Fuck him. No, I'm just kidding.
Gene, no, is Craig. That really you? You sound great.
Oh, man. Yeah, exactly. So my girlfriend loves when I bag on Craig Gass. We're going to dinner with him tonight. So I'll make sure I mention that.
We had some fun with him at the night before the ending.
Madison Square Garden weekend.
Social media and shit and talk. You talk to people online, but then you get to actually finally meet him. So we got to meet him in New York. He's great. We love him.
He's the best. He's fucking awesome.
But go ahead.
So anyway, we had great ideas. Everything was great and copacetic. And then my friend who was musical directing the band that Gene was putting together, and he goes, he loves you. This was not an easy decision, but there was another guy that came in with kind of the look that Gene was looking for to make his presentation. So he's going to give it to that guy. And the other guy is a guy I know who's extremely talented. I'm not going to say his name because I think they want to announce it, but
okay.
I was like, fine. I mean, I get it and I get what Gene's trying to accomplish and I'm not, hurt by it. I mean, that's Gene's kind of ideal is that he wants to make sure that he's presenting a package. It's like, it's a package.
Yeah.
So I was like, cool, right on. And I called the guy and he's a friend of mine. And I said, dude, congrats, man. This is going to be huge for you and you're going to go crush it. And he's like, man, thank you so much. And then like in the fucking press, there was like Zac Throne and Gene Simmons' band. I was like, no, I'm not like at all. And dude, my Instagram and all my social media was like inundated, like Kiss Army Istanbul. Congratulations on these. I was like, I'm not doing it. Yeah, it was so all over the world. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. I'm not. And all my friends are calling. I have no idea. I was like, I'm not doing it. So finally, I just was like, I don't feel comfortable going, you know, attention media. I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Right. But I every like 5 minutes, I was getting so many calls and emails and texts. I was just like, this is just easier just to do this and just go, I know this is what you read.
Yep.
I am not doing the Gene Simmons gig. And, you know, that's that. So,
okay.
We thought we were lucky timing this. Like, oh, perfect timing. He can tell us all about the Gene Simmons gig.
But now it's perfect timing. But now it's perfect timing. You can tell Gene Simmons to fuck off on our show.
I was just wondering if he wanted to.
Gene would like that, actually.
Yeah, no, I know.
Maybe he was like asking you like the quirky things he asked members. Are you willing to change your name? I like
Zach Dynamite.
Would sound better in my band.
Zach Diamond. That would be
Zach Diamond.
Actually works.
Perfect.
I like that. Yeah. But were you going to be like a rhythm guitarist? Because I know you play guitar.
I was going to be rhythm, and Brent Woods, who's the musical director,
we met him in Vegas too. He's another good guy. He's
awesome guy. Awesome. And it was going to be that lineup, and it was great. I mean, it worked great. It was fine. And everything I pitched in, Gene was into, and everything he pitched in, I did it to the best of my ability. It was a great day. And then the other guy walked in, who's, like I said, a buddy of mine. And he's not just like a look. He's really talented.
Yeah.
He deserves it. But he had the look that Gene was looking for. He came straight out of, like, you know, Gene's like, oh, that's a rock star. So.
Well, you don't look shabby yourself, you know?
Yeah, I'm okay. Not too shabby. Yeah. But I get it. I mean, it's the same, you know, listen, I was an actor for fucking 10 years and you audition for so long and then you get to the final callback and you go up against the guy who's opposite of you. I have blue eyes and long hair. He had brown eyes and short hair. And then they go, well, the producers really loved you. They thought that you were the better actor, but they want a Latino. So they're going for, you know, and you just go, that's the biz, you know.
Yeah,
and
you got a good attitude too. About it, though. You have a great attitude about it. You're not sulking and bitching. You know, you just move on. Now you're not shabby yourself. Look at the band you're playing with, right?
Yeah, yeah, we got a killer band.
Yeah, you do, and you're thinking about maybe that's going to come back soon, going back on tour.
Yeah, we leave March. Oh God, when do we leave? March, when do we go? I think it's like the last week of March, because our first show is like March 20. Don't quote me on this. I just put up the dates recently, so I can't, but it's the last week of March. And then we go to Japan for a week, and then we do one show in the Philippines, where I've never been to the Philippines, so that'll be interesting.
Oh, wow. Nice. Now this, and this is with Corey.
Corey Taylor.
We forgot to say who with who. So people are like, well, know where to find you. The other thing is.
I got it. It's March 25th. Sorry. March 25th in Tokyo, March 26th in Tokyo, March 28th in Osaka, and then April 1st in Manila.
Wow.
Those are the days.
Are you circling back to New England area by any chance anytime soon?
Not with the Corey band. CMFT, which is the name of our band, we're going just to Japan and Manila, and then in June we go to Europe and play all the festivals there for about a month.
Wow.
In Europe, and then we're kind of off for a while, so I'm not sure when we're coming back to the New England area. I hope so. I mean, I'd like to play that area again, you know, soon, because I miss being out there.
Yeah, so playing with Ace and playing with Bruce and doing the Cruise and Creatures Fest and stuff. How did you get hooked up with Corey? Are you guys like longtime friends, or was this like, was there a Slipknot connection somehow? How did this whole thing come together?
I knew Corey from back in LA when I lived in LA in the 90s and the 2000s.
Okay.
We met through Scott Ian initially, because I've known Scott since I was like 16.
Yep.
And he said, I was living with my then girlfriend in LA, and he said, hey, I want to come over and we'll make dinner and jam, and I'm bringing Corey Taylor. And I didn't know what Corey looked like outside of Slipknot.
The mask and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And in walks in this like good looking kind of Iowan a boy with a nice smile. And he just goes, "Hey, I'm Corey." And I was like, "Really? You're Corey?" That's interesting. And we ate dinner and then we sat around and we, you know, I popped open some wine and then we brought out these acoustic guitars and me and Corey and Pearl, Scott's wife, who I was playing with, we just started singing like Crosby, Stills, and Nash songs and Eagles and all kind. Yeah, we just
Eagles, there you go. Love that shit.
Yeah, love the Eagles. Now, I didn't think that the guy in Slipknot would love the Eagles. Again, I didn't know Corey yet. So I start playing an Eagles tune. He knows every word.
That's awesome.
He knows every harmony to every Eagles song. And whatever I pulled out, Beatles, Eagles, anything with three-part harmony, he knew how to get grab a harmony really quick. And I just went, man, he's really good. Like, who knew? So we exchanged numbers and all that. And then, like, within the next few years, we just started. I don't think he was living in L.A. yet, but every time he came to L.A., he'd call me and we would just go out to dinner. And we became really, really close musically.
Nice. He's super freaking.
And his friend.
Super fucking talented. I mean, Slipknot, Stone Sour, his solo stuff, the range of his vocals is just insane. It's incredible, talented guy.
I mean, there's nothing that guy can't do. And in terms of musically, like, he understands intrinsically every style of music, really. I mean, he could write a Les Mis operetta, or he could write a real heavy tune, and he can go from like hardcore punk to fucking R&B. And there's awesome. Not that many people I know that can do that authentically.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And as a vocalist, he's, you know, there's certain things that he can do vocally that I can't do. Mm-hmm. I don't really know anyone that can do. I have a good voice, but I have like kind of one thing I do with my voice, and I do it to the best of my ability. Whereas Corey puts on voices like people put on hats.
Yeah.
Just take this hat off, put on a, you know, baseball hat and take that up, put on a fucking straw hat. He can do, you know, and I've seen him do it on the same mic, just go in and out of voices.
Yeah. Wow.
Not, awesome. You know, there's not that many people that can do that. So we've been friends now for, I mean, I want to say like 25 years. And
wow. That's a good relationship then.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's great.
So do you get a chance to look back and you may sing like that, but I can sing Burn Bitch Burn. Can you?
I rub his nose in that every day I can.
Sing it like this guy can. Yeah. I mean, what about Bruce? So I know Bruce, we had him on. He opened up season 6 for us a couple weeks ago for us. Mm. We talked about what he may have coming up, plans and stuff. I know he had almost plans to do that South American gig too, as well. So is there something along the line of like, hey, guys, I know what your schedule is, Todd. I know Todd and Brent are both out with Slash. I think they're in Mexico now. I think they opened.
Yeah, they were in Mexico City like 2 nights ago, I think.
Yeah,
I
think so with we,
is there
with,
anything
with,
like
yeah,
that?
With no Kiss crews here, where people are kind of jonesing for the Bruce Kulick band and all you guys to get together again. Anything happening? We know you guys are being pulled from all different directions because you guys are all amazing at what you do. So,
thank you. Not any immediate plans right now, unfortunately. We always talk about wanting to do a record, do some kind of fly dates, you know, around when it's just getting our schedules together.
That's
the hardest thing because when Todd and Bruce are home, I'm out with Corey, and when I'm home, they're out with Slash. And so it's just been tricky to kind of all be home at the same time when we could just, you know, all go in the studio and do shit. But we always talk about it. I mean, it's everybody's goal is to just everybody's goal is to go get together and either do a run of shows or do a record, you know, because we just love playing together and we're very close. And obviously there's a demand out there to see these songs.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, the Bruce's era of Kiss is like you said, it's underrepresented outside of the cruise.
Criminally underrepresented.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we have people go, please come to so-and-so and please come here. And we never hear these songs live ever. And so we're always down to do that. It's just, it's just being able to find the time.
Scheduling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But that's it.
Yeah.
You four are just now, and we love all the other bands. We love, you know, Ryan and Jeremy and Phil and all the way through to Jericho's Quarantine and stuff. They're something great about you four.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You guys are, Tom and I would call you guys, that's the A-team.
Yeah.
And when the A-team is off.
Seriously.
Like, and that's not to say those other guys aren't close to you guys or that.
Yeah.
But you guys, musically, and the energy and shit you give off is just amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. Man, thank you, guys.
Not a problem. One last thing before we let you go. I've got to do like a personal thing I got to ask you about because, you know, looking into it, I'm like, oh, over time, I've obviously read about you, Zach, and you. I'm like, oh, he was an actor. Why does it come up as an actor? When I was trying to find him, like when I first heard of you through Bruce's band, I'm like, no, that's not him. I'm not looking for an actor. I'm looking for a musician.
Right.
And and then I look, and it's got all the shows we grew up on. Dude, you were in Beverly Hills 90210. And now my mind is like, where the fuck was he?
Yeah, what my mind
episode?
Is.
And I know every episode. If you describe it, I'll be like, oh, I know that episode.
I can't believe the guy that's saying thou shalt not on the cruise was in Beverly Hills 90210.
But not only that, you were with the other guy that threw that Donna chick down the flight of stairs. You were in that show too, right?
I was. Yeah, so, I was.
Were you in that song that became like a hit?
I was.
No. What was that song? Something Angel. Something Angel.
Oh, From the Heights.
Yeah. He was in that. You were in the band with him?
Yeah.
I was.
And you were on that track.
Yep.
So now we have
forget everything else you're famous for. Just because you're doing that. Now we're fanboying with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we all grew up with 90210 and all that shit.
Yeah.
Well, this is what happens. We have you on, and now it's like we just can't stop talking, but we know
I got to hear this stuff.
Yeah, so go
tell
ahead.
Us a little bit about that.
Okay, I'll give you the short version. So I moved to Los Angeles in 1988 or something, and I was trying to be a musician. And, you know, you do anything in public in LA, and someone will offer you something that's not what you want to do because of whatever. And an agent saw me. I was doing theater just for fun. My father was an actor, and I always liked seeing him in theater. And so I just thought, oh, that'd be fun. There's like a weekend theater group or something, and I would do like scenes and plays and stuff. An agent saw me, and he goes, "Hey, you want to sign?" And I said, "No, I'm not an actor. I'm a guitar player." And he signed me, and he started sending me out for auditions. And eventually, I started booking shit. And at the time, I was living in a real shitty apartment in North Hollywood with my roommate, and you know, I had no money. And acting pays a lot of money.
Yeah,
you know, you do one day on some TV show, and you all of a sudden have not only this month's rent, but next month's rent too. You know, so I was like, okay, there's something going on here. So I kind of started acting more, and music kind of went on the back burner for a bit, and eventually, I booked this series. The lead on the series for Aaron Spelling called The Heights. He had had a big hit with 90210. I remember when Fox was brand new and they only had a couple of shows.
All that shit.
Oh yeah.
He grew up with that shit.
Yeah. So it was like, he had a new show and it involved musicians and they wanted actors that were musicians or musicians that could act. And I was a musician that could act. So I went up for it and a long casting process. I got it. So we went to Vancouver, Canada to shoot it. And along the way, some of the songs we recorded got released to radio and one of them went to number one.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
So we had this we had the number one song in the country and we weren't even a real band. Right. You know?
Yeah.
We were like, you know, so we had to go out on the weekends and tour. But no one felt comfortable playing except me. So rather than get everybody comfortable, we just went out with, you know, playback. And sang in shopping malls and shit. Like, so anyway, we had this number one hit, and then the show went off. The show only lasted 13 episodes. We went off the air, and then about a year later, I was auditioning for something on 90210. It was like a 6-episode arc for a character called Howard, and I went in to read, and it was all the same guys from Aaron Spelling from The Heights. And they were like, "Hey, Zach Throne." And I was like, "Oh, hey, guys, you know." And I read and they gave me the part and Aaron welcomed me back. He sent me like this kind of fruit basket. And I said, "Nice to be back." And I did 6 episodes of that show. And to this day, those 6 episodes it just has legs. It's just everyone wanting that, you know.
I don't remember the character.
unbelievable.
Tell me, what was the story? What was the story?
You don't remember the character?
No. I mean, the show.
Like,
do you remember?
I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay, it's okay.
I was more of a Melrose.
Go on
I was
YouTubing. I'm going to find you now.
I was more of a Melrose Place guy. I'll admit. So.
Oh, you know, here's a cool trivia on Melrose Place. Did you watch the first season of Melrose Place?
Yeah. I watched every episode religiously.
Okay. Do you remember in the first season, Billy's father wanted to get him to work at his like furniture store or something because he thought that was my dad.
No way.
Holy That's my dad. Shit. My dad played Billy's father in the first season.
That's crazy.
Now, did you make an appearance there too eventually?
No, I was doing The Heights at the time and my dad was doing Melrose Place and I had called him and I go, Pop, you and I are both working for Aaron Spelling at the same time.
That's crazy. Wow. That's amazing.
That was a moment for me because I never thought I would, you know.
Yeah. That's wild.
I played, so 90210, there was a character named Howard when they went to college. It was the season when they went to college. And Howard was this guy with a ponytail and an earring and he ran the radio station at the college and he got David Silver hooked on crystal meth.
I know you now. Now I know you. I just can't picture the image of like what a young Zach Throne drug dealer looked like.
Nice. Right.
Bring me your cell phone if you got time. Oh, I'm going to show you what I look like.
Oh, no.
I remember the episode when he became all cracked out and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that. I remember that plot.
We used to watch it in college.
Oh, yeah.
College would watch 90210.
Yeah.
Can I borrow that? Can you look up, let's push my name and then like 90210. And I'm going to show Tom and Zeus what I look like in the 90s.
When I was
regrettably what I look like.
Yeah, he used to sell me crystal meth in the 90s. You remember that?
Yeah. I remember Zach Peroni saw me crystal meth in the 90s. He was a good guy. Okay, so I look like that. I'm not even see this.
That's not you.
Dude, that looks like
that's me.
There is
that
no
looks like
way
Screech. That does not look like you.
That looks like Potsy.
Wow.
I thought you said you had
guys
like
are
a
flattering
long...
me.
Oh, I thought you said you had long hair and shit. Yeah, there you go.
Holy shit!
That
first of all,
a thing
first
like
of all,
you. There's no way I would have said that.
Can we talk about
that? You know how long ago this is?
I know.
30 years ago.
Can we talk about
what you look like, Zeus, 30 years ago? Let's talk about
you wouldn't
that.
Recognize me. I was actually thin back then.
Oh, Zach, you wouldn't recognize me. I had a full head of black hair.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we had like the long fucking mullet hockey hair, you know?
Yeah.
Short on top and the long hair.
Probably about 40 pounds lighter.
40? Oh, fuck. More than 40 pounds lighter. But fucking hilarious.
That's fucking fantastic.
It's some funny shit.
Zach, where can I mean, this is amazing. We could take another 4 hours of your life, but we won't. Where can people find you to keep track of what you're up to and what you're doing, and to find clips of you selling crystal meth? Where can they find that?
Where can you hook them up with some meth?
I was gonna say, do you want to see clips of me selling crystal meth in life or on the show?
No, not okay. In real life.
Okay. Well, all that's probably on YouTube somewhere with the 90210 shit. But if you want to follow me, I don't have a website, but you can go on my Instagram, which is just Zach Throne.
Okay.
There's another kid out there named Zach Throne who's an actor. He spells it exactly the same way as me.
Yep.
But it's not me. So just make sure it's me. And Instagram and Facebook really is kind of, you know, what I post on now pretty regularly. So that's where you can find me.
Awesome.
And anything involving Corey. I mean, if you just follow CMFT, Corey Taylor, it'll give you all the dates of you know, when we're coming out and when we're playing and when we're making a new record and stuff.
Fantastic. Zach, this has been amazing. Yeah. Thank you. What a blast we've had.
I had a great time, man.
So great to finally talk to you and meet you, via Zoom. So thank you so much. God bless with everything that you got going on in the future with you, man. Thank you so much.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. It was a blast. Anytime you guys want to talk, just fucking holler and we'll do this again.
Awesome. Thank you.
It was awesome. Zach, you're the man. Thank you.
Yeah, you guys are. Thank you.
Tom, that was the great Zach Throne. What do you think?
Yeah, just amazing. Tons of fun. And I had to ask him about the whole thing with Gene's band and that announcement. I'm sure he wasn't thrilled to have that conversation, but we wanted to ask it because we know that you guys were probably curious. And how could we have Zach thrown on here and not bring that up? He answered as honestly and, you know, as wonderfully as I could have ever expected. So we gave him kudos for that. And just talking about everything again, talking about the Godfather and how much we love that music in general, Ace and Gene and Bruce and Corey Taylor and just amazing stuff. Zach was just, we knew it was going to be a ton of fun, but you know, it exceeded my expectations. I know that. Great guy.
Yeah. We took some personal liberties where we got the chance to veer off and talk about his acting in 90210. And I mean, I didn't know he was on that song from the guy that pushed Donna Martin down a flight of stairs. he was on that number one hit. And then in addition to that, his love of the Godfather, shit, we could have went on for hours. And we were talking about, like, we need to have a Godfather conversation and bring him on and maybe some other celebrities that are big fans of the Godfather and talk about those great movies. But Zach, what a fucking thrill. And we talk about this sometimes. Like, we're like, you know, you get big names, you get other musicians, stuff like that. But sometimes the conversations that you have with certain people that you didn't expect,
yep,
stick with you more than any other conversation you've had with any other person that you've had on your show. This True. Is one of our best fucking conversations we've ever had on this show.
Yep. Ton of fun. Great guy. Yep.
Tom, what we do next is we go to question of the week. And I think we had something earlier that we hinted at.
We do. We do. And our question of the week is brought to us by the great Hall of Famer, Tony Barone of ABCPA Inc. The tax man, Tony, is your man for all of your tax and accounting and financial expertise needs. He can take care of you if you're an individual, if you're a business, if you have issues with your estate, anything. And Zeus and I can speak from personal experience. He did our taxes last year and it was seamless, painless, because we know how painful taxes can be. Tony is the man. He's attentive, he's communicative, and he's detailed. He's the best. Check him out, abcpainc.com. There's links there where you can call, links where you can send an email, and links to all of the services and products that he provides. So please check him out. We love Tony, and we can speak from experience about how wonderful he is.
Tony is the man. All right, Tom, what's the question?
And a question of the week comes from Ryan Michael Ramaswamy Clinton Cronin Scott Woodrow Roosevelt Truman.
Delano Truman.
So on the heels of the World Domination episode with Kiss and Aerosmith, he asked, what bands would we have liked to have seen Kiss team up with over the decades and do a double bill like that? Maybe not open up, because Kiss had a ton of great bands open for them, but a co-headline.
All right. So for me, the 70s, I'd either say Zeppelin or the Eagles.
Okay.
But Zeppelin makes more sense.
I agree.
Right? So for me, Zeppelin. You?
I would say Zeppelin, although it does feel like just an incredible. I mean, I know this is wishful thinking anyways. For me, I know this band opened up for Kiss and they had a great relationship with them and they still do to this day. Rush. I think a co-headlining of Rush. I think two different styles, two different types of performers, and two bands that, you know, I would say probably late 70s. But I would love to see Rush, of course. Yeah, for the 70s.
So the thing I'm thinking about, though, Tom, I'm putting more parameters on it. Okay. Like Rush's most of their career hasn't even been done yet.
That's true. They blew up in the 80s, but their late 70s, like, yeah, because Moving Pictures didn't come out till 81.
So, like, a lot of good music wouldn't have been on those tours. So, for me, that's fair. That's what Zeppelin's most of their career. You can go to 79, almost 80. Last was
all right,
80.
All right, you know, I'll change my pick. I'll go with Foghat.
But that's the way I have it, because we always set up these self-parameters. And that's
I was gonna pick Rush for the 80s, but I have somebody else I want to use for the 80s.
All right,
you go ahead.
For the 80s, I would say, because I'm going to 89. I would either say, I was thinking about AC/DC, but I don't want Brian Johnson doing fucking Bon Scott. It's not the same thing. Bon Scott song. So if it wasn't AC/DC, I would say Bon Jovi, because Bon Jovi by New Jersey at this point up to New Jersey is It's your perfect Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi Kiss.
Okay. I was going to go to something like that, but I think for me, two front men that fucking command the stage.
I know where you're going.
I would say late 80s, I would go Whitesnake.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I would go hair metal glam era late. I would get in the slide it in the 87 self-titled, and I would do that. I would do that.
Now they did perform together, and that didn't end up working too well because they didn't like each other. They got into that fight about the bombs and the shit going off and pyro.
Yep.
But anyway, I thought you were gonna go Van Halen.
Yeah, that would probably be it. That would work. Obviously, that would work. Van Halen would work with anybody.
Yeah, just when you said front man, I was like, oh, he's definitely going David Lee Roth. All right, 90s, for me, if I have my choice, I would probably go Nirvana because you got everything from Nirvana.
Yep.
They're dead by 94. Yeah,
they're dead.
So you're not missing a song. Yeah. So I'm going to go Nirvana. Alice in Chains would also be considered, but they do have some good shit when Lane's gone, and they're actually dead by that time too, kind of for years. So, or Stone Temple Pilots or Pearl Jam, one of those, but most likely I would go Nirvana Kiss.
Yeah, it would depend on when in the 90s, because my vote would be Pearl Jam, a guitar-oriented, more classic rock-style band. But as long as it's after Verses, I would probably say that. I think that would be great, especially obviously we know the love that Mike McCready has for Kiss and all that stuff. So I think that would have been a killer fucking co-headlining.
And Matt Cumran.
That's right. And the 2000s and all, who cares? No one cares.
Yeah, I'm not going to fucking.
No.
I don't. No. Oh, I got it. Kiss and Pearl and Foo Fighters.
Oh, yeah, that would work. That would definitely work. Yeah, Dave's a huge, huge Kiss fan. Yes, agreed.
Now the 2010s, Kiss and Foo Fighters.
Yeah, exactly.
The 2020s, Kiss and Foo Fighters.
Or you could even throw in, I mean, it, you know what would be a good one in the 90s? Because of the change in style, both musically and aesthetically, you could throw Metallica in there. Because Metallica was doing the Load and Reload albums, which was a more accessible type of rock.
Oh, I'll take fans. Metallica for the 2000s. I'll take 2010s Foo Fighters. 2020s, who's still playing?
Metallica and the Foo Fighters.
Form of Stone Temple Pilots is still out there. Form of AIC.
That's true. They're all there. 20s. That's right.
Yep. There you go. That's five different fucking bands.
Yeah, the same bands for 30 years. That's okay, though. Yeah,
it's all right. Yep. I'll take it. It certainly ain't going to be fucking One Direction.
Why not? Great question. Great question. Thank you, Ryan, Michael, Ramaswamy, Trump, Nirvana, whatever the hell your name is. We love you, buddy.
Courtney Love fucking whatever. Anyway, Tom, where can people find us?
Always start with our website, shoutoutloudcast.com. That's where you can find all of our episodes, all the SIOL episodes, Dorm Damage, Album Review Crew, Zeppelin Chronicles. You can find all of our links there, our links to our Amazon shopping, our links to our Shout Out Loudcast merch, links to our Patreon, links to all of our social media. You can also comment directly on the website. We get those in the form of an email. All of our rankings, everything that we always talk about, you can see pictures of all of our guests. The website's really a lot of fun, tons of information there, so please do that. And if you want to be Question of the Week, you can comment on our social media as Ryan Michael Cooks Cronin Dole did, or you can send us an email to shoutoutloudcast@gmail.com. We read every single email that you get. We love to say this because we want to make sure we keep getting them. Sometimes we can't get to all of them during the show, but we do read every single one. So please do that at shoutoutloudcast@gmail.com. And of course, social media, very active on there. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Please check us out. Please follow us. And we always like to say that we are a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network of shows.
Yeah, you can DM us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're also on Threads. And I think Tom's trying to get us on TikTok more active.
And one other thing that we're in the middle of getting, and if you check us out now, we are in the process of updating our Spotify profile page, not the Spotify podcast page. So if you search Shout It Out Loudcast, you'll see the podcast and you'll see our profile. If you click on our profile, we are now creating playlists from all of our episodes where we ever did a draft, a top 10, or anything like that, a best and a worst. So we're slowly getting there because we're kind of backlogged with doing them. We're up to about episode 40 right now. So smashes, thrashes, and shit. We know Heavy Mayo loves that episode. We have playlists there. And eventually we're going to have every episode that was a playlist, a draft, a top 10. There's going to be a corresponding Spotify playlist. So please check those out too. Those are there too.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun organizing, yep. Looking back at that, you know, yep. Best songs to play at a barbecue.
Yep.
You know, songs to get pumped up at going to a show, mm-hmm. a Kiss draft with the Talisman and things like that. Tons of fun.
One of my favorite playlists putting together was the episode we did worst two songs in a row off an album. Yeah. Oh, great stuff. Great
Love
stuff.
It. Love yep. it. Check it out. Spotify.
Yep.
You can always subscribe to our YouTube channel. Last week, Tom, for some of the listeners out there, I put in the YouTube clip and the give us one of your 5-star child reviews on Apple Podcasts, which helps the show tremendously. I also put the star clip in there. Nobody said shit. So I guess you didn't miss it that much. So fuck it. I'm not putting them in again.
There you go. We give you, the fans, a voice. It's okay.
And nobody cared. That's all right.
Nope.
It's all right. It's all right. Anyways, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Make sure you give us a 5-star child review. Those help the show out tremendously. And if you do, we give you a shout out and read it. So I like to always repeat our email, shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com, shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com. And in addition, our website, which Tom had already mentioned, you can go to our Amazon store. You can go to our merch page, which has a bunch of fucking shirts and stuff out there. I honestly think that Ace Cult shirt may be outselling our fucking Loudcaster shirt. People love it. And my favorite is the Fish Alive 2 shirt.
Oh, God. That's so bad.
Anyway, go to our merch thing. And there's everything up there. We just did Dynasty. So now we have our album rankings, our song rankings. All that shit is there. You go album review, our Zeppelin rankings for songs and stuff. All that's up there. So take a look, have some fun, and make some comments. It's always great when we see those comments. So we always like to end on famous last words. Tom, do you have any?
I do.
You do?
We do. Well, the son of a bitch must be crazy telling me I'm going to go down. I said, this ain't the Inquisition. You ain't the son of God. And I sure as hell don't give a damn.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, it's out of the frying pan and into the fire. You're bent over. Baby, let me be the driver.
Poetry. Poetry.
Zach Throne, Kiss Army, Loudcasters, Tom, thank you.
Zach Throne, you are the man. Thank you so much for a great conversation. Loved having you. Loudcasters, you guys rock. Zeus, as always, my friend, thank you.
Peace out, Girl Scout. Hit the music. What I'd like now is for all you fat, out of shape, worldwide Kiss tards to keep the noise down while I show your ladies what a real sexy man looks like.
Listen, all you people out there sitting on rented furniture, settle down.
Cut the music. Anybody see Richie? Anybody know why Richie did Bobby Lupo?
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any fantasy points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that fantasy points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at fantasy points. Fantasypoints.com. Code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.